sings, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. It's amazing how amazing he is. Amen. God is so good to us. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Aren't you glad the Lord give you a desire to come to his house? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice warm smile and a big stout handshake and tell them you're glad to see him in church tonight. Play some more of it, guys, if you will. Sounds good. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. First of all, we want to welcome some folks with us tonight from Birmingham, Alabama. Brother Jerry Glenn, his brother and sister-in-law, Jackie and Jane Glenn, visiting here with us tonight, right here. Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. We're glad to have you. I understand you and Brother Jerry are twin brothers. Is that right? Well, you're prettier than he is, I'll tell you that right now. Brother Jerry, I had to do you that way. You know I did. I'm just called to aggravate people, I reckon. But we're sure glad to have you folks with us in service tonight. God bless you. Good to have all of you in service tonight. If you're a visitor, may God bless you. We're glad to have you here with us tonight. Our prayer request, please pray for Jerry Kelly. He had a liver transplant surgery and is not doing well at this time. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight, so we want to certainly do that. Sister Laura Krause says, I want to thank the Lord for keeping me safe and giving me strength after a recent fall. I also thank everyone for your love and prayers. So we just praise the Lord that she's doing well. Just praise the Lord for that. Sister Shirley Lutsford sends this in. My doctor has asked that our church would pray for him and his daughter as they travel to Nigeria on a medical missions trip. So we certainly want to remember those folks, that the Lord just be with them. Give them mercy, traveling mercy, and may they do well over there. Here's another announcement. I'll just go ahead and make this. The Bibles will be ready for our high school graduates this coming Sunday. So remember that if you're a high school graduate, there will be a Bible for you here this coming Sunday morning. Sister Linda Jablonski says she would like for the church to remember her uncle and her aunt in prayer. Their daughter passed away. Also keep my mother and dad in prayer for safe traveling. Also, she has a very special unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. So we just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Maggie Jones from Indiana, who is gravely ill and needs a special touch from the Lord. So let's remember that need as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Abe and Sister Mary Dyke as they go through a very hard time out in Texas. So let's pray for those folks tonight. I want to pray for Sister Linda Kennedy. She had her kidney removed today, and the surgery went well. Pray for a speedy recovery. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Sister Clara Davis sends this in to please pray for Sister Boone. She fell and broke two ribs and is in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Boone. She just precious sister in the Lord. And well, we just love her very much. And let's remember her tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you believe God's able to meet your need tonight? You believe he's bigger than all your problems? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Let's sing that little chorus one more time. How great thou art. Brother Wes, if you would care tonight to come and lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests tonight. Let's sing that chorus one more time, if you will.
Then sing my soul, my Savior God.
Father, we're gathered here together in your name as your body tonight, Lord. And these prayer requests have come before us, and Lord, we're just going to present them to you, and we're going to trust you with them. Lord, I know that the same God who touched and opened blinded eyes when Jesus walked the earth is here tonight. I know that you're alive and well, and that you're open for business. I know that we can apply our faith to your word, Lord, and anything is possible. I know that this army cannot be stopped. The banner under which we ride is is unchallengeable. Lord Jesus, there's people here who some of these problems seem small and some of them seem large. You know that there's praises here from people who want to testify, Lord, that you saved them from harm. Lord, there's people going into the mission field. Some of us here might not have any idea what it's like to have a call in our life, to go into a dangerous place possibly and use our talents to further the kingdom, to help one of the bride of Christ, Lord. But there are people that are called to do it. And Lord, we know that we can trust you as we lay these in your hands tonight, Father. We know that you're aware of every single thought going through each of these prayer requests, of these people's minds. Everything they're facing, all the troubles and all the sorrows that they're going through. Anything that they might be thinking about, Lord, you know the very thought in their mind, the very desire of their heart, Lord. And Lord, we just want to put our faith together with theirs. And we want to give it to you and ask in Jesus' name that you heal where healing is needed and you protect where protection is needed, Lord. And you calm the nerves and soothe the hearts of those who have lost loved ones, Lord. And we just trust you to do that. And Lord, we just want to let you know one more time we love you. And we're looking forward to what you're going to say as your man comes out here tonight and you speak through him. Lord, we're going to be listening and we're going to be pulling. Help us, Father, to not be hindered. Help us to leave here better than we came, Lord. It's so hard struggling in this world sometimes, Father. But Lord, we know we can come here and get refreshed and refilled. And you can fight back all the problems of this nervous, dark, horrible age that we live in, Lord. And your glory can come shining through it, Lord. We love you so much tonight, Father. And we just thank you for everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Not to free. I didn't have a note on it, but I certainly didn't want to let it slip our minds tonight. Shortly after service on Sunday, Brother Larry Elliott received word that his mother had passed away. And so we certainly want to pray for Brother Larry, his brothers, and their sister, and the families, that the Lord would just, I believe they had her service maybe yesterday afternoon, last night. So let's pray for that family. God will just help them during this time. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? Means a lot to say I'm a Christian in Laodicea. The whole world is religious in some form or another. But I know what it means to really have a desire to be Christ-like. Is that your desire tonight, to be Christ-like? Above everything else in this world, we'll lay aside all of our riches, all of their properties, all of our possessions, if we can be like Him. That's the key right there, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight, ushers, if you want to come. We'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. As I said a while ago, if you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming tonight, pray the service will be a blessing to them. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds it. Amen. And I don't know what's ahead of me, but I know by His grace I'll face it. What about you? Yes, is that your desire? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. This road ahead is straight and narrow and leads to a better home. It was Christ that day at Calvary while He suffered all alone. This road may lead over many high mountains and valleys dark and low, but safely reach my goal ahead. There's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul ahead. There's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole. I know I'll be with Jesus and tears whenever be shed. Though so often this road is rough and rocky, still know what lies ahead. There's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul ahead. There's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole. And tears will never be shed. Though so often this
this road. I get so weary, and often my feet will stray. But a gentle hand still leads me onward and helps me find my way.
Praise the Lord.
As I climb each hill and cross each valley, by His hand I'm being led. But I won't look back. I'm gonna keep right on walking,
'cause I know
what lies ahead.
Oh, sing it.
Joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul.
The Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus tonight. Jesus, draw me closer. Jesus, draw me closer. I've got a couple of songs tonight. Brother John Cockman is going to give us a song. Brother Jackie Benton is going to give us a song tonight. And we've got a baptizing tonight after service. Praise the Lord. Blesses my heart to see somebody get baptized in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing that chorus just before we change it. Brother John, if you want to come on and be getting ready. Brother Jackie, if you want to come on and be getting ready. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to You. Let the world around me fade away.
Jesus, draw me close.
a good hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, you're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're so worthy, Lord Jesus. May we worship. May we obey you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away.
God bless you. We'll let you be seated tonight. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for us tonight. Certainly appreciate you. God bless you. Good to see you, Brother John.
Man. It's so good to be here with you on a Wednesday night. We're driving across the Boone, and you know, we go right across Watauga Lake, and it's just so beautiful. We were enjoying the scenery, and Jennifer said, it's so good to be with you and driving to church tonight, and I said, it sure is. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. We're at a time probably unlike any others. The little cousins are mocking.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're laughing. They say time is going on like it has since our fathers went to sleep. He's not coming back. You know, it's even a cliche. We hear wars and rumors of wars. Well, to the bride, that's just the sound of the wheels of the buckboard on the road. Amen? Everybody else sees the smoke of confusion. We see the dust of the carriage rising. Here's one I wrote a while back. It's called The Promise. The wealthiest rancher in Texas was throwing a grand jubilee to honor his son who just turned 21 and was visiting down from the east. It was rumored he wanted to marry, so every girl in the county was there. But soon he grew tired of their fashion and their pride, and he stepped outside for some air. It was there on the back step that he saw her, and the moonlight shone down on her face. She was washing the floor and stealing his poor heart away. He knew he would love her forever as he walked beneath the dark Texas sky. He knelt as he asked her to marry. Then he watched as the tears sprang to her eyes, and he feared she was going to refuse him. So he bid her, please don't make a sound. I am leaving tonight for Chicago. I must ride before the snow lies on the ground. But I'm going there to build for you a mansion, and returning, I'll make you my wife. Meet me here by the stables 1 year from tonight. Oh, lady. Oh, lady. Oh, lady. She worked long long days in the kitchen. Then she worked with her needle each night, till the day she walked down to the stables in a beautiful gown of pure white. Then the girls all laughed and they mocked her as the evening shadows fell. But their laughter was turned into silence at the sound of the carriage on the trail. The bride has made herself ready. Look now, for the bridegroom is nigh on to the marriage. Step up in the carriage and ride. Holy. Holy. Hello.
We've got some people tonight that says, if there's one going to make it, it's going to be me. Amen. More than anything. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great or small. Friends and family, you can have it all. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Is that the way you feel? For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. More than anything, more than all this world's attire, but more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? If I gain this world and lose my soul, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then in heaven I'll see His face. In my life, I've got to make it. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear it say, well done, enter in my child, you've won. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Let's sing this verse again. What good is all I've come to know? If I gain this world, lose my soul. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then in heaven I'll see His face. Glory, for more than anything in my life, I've got to make it.
Hallelujah. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. Well done. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know your name is there tonight? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing that chorus once more. Above anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear Him say, well done. Enter in, my child, you won. For more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. God bless you. Thanks. Hallelujah.
Bring us the word of the Lord tonight. We're just going to pray for our brother. We always enjoy Brother David, don't we? Amen. Brother David Siler and his family, just precious folks. And we just love him in the Lord. And he's going to come and speak for you tonight. How many of you going to pray for him? Ask God to give him something for you tonight. He don't know what you have need of, but God does. And God's able to fill your bill tonight. As Brother David comes, Brother Harry, if you just continue to sing that tonight. More than anything, I want to make it. How about you?
More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. Just to hear Him say, well done.
Let's just bow our hearts before the Lord this evening. Ask Him just to come and help us. Heavenly Father, I believe that's just our desire this evening, Lord, that no matter what happens, Lord, we realize the most important goal of our lives is to be able to make it. Knowing, Father, that there's nothing in this world that could be offered to us that would be worth living here for. And Lord, we just believe that among us tonight is your elected children. Knowing, Father, there's people here that's ordained, predestinated to make it at that day. Knowing, Father, that nothing could stop us at that time if we've been elected by your grace and mercy. And Lord, how we are so longing for that day to be able to leave this place of time and Lord, to be able to go back to where we truly belong. And Lord, how we're longing for a body that'll match, Lord, that's in our souls that'll be able to match, Lord, on the outside. And Father, how we're longing to be able to be received up. And tonight, Lord, you see every need, you know every heart tonight, Lord. Father, we ask that you would just come and be mindful of each one. May you search our hearts tonight, Lord, and help us now, each one, as we've come to surrender to you, that you could just have liberty. For the scripture said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, may there be the shout of the King in the camp tonight. I pray, Lord, we could just lay aside the things of the week, Lord, and may we just take these few moments that you've allowed us to come together now, Lord, that we could be benefited by our gathering together. Lord, anoint the word to our hearts. Bless the reading of the word in your children. That's come now in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles or you would like to look into the scripture with us, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 60 this evening. Isaiah chapter 60. We want to look at verses 1 and 2. We'll read there and then we will give you our subject and let you be seated this evening. Isaiah chapter 60. We want to look at verses 1 and 2. Brother Bram, in the message of Shalom has takes this scripture for a text. And we want to look from that thought for just a little while this evening. Isaiah said in chapter 60 and verse 1, arise and shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. One little word I'd like to use for a text out of verse 1, where Isaiah said, just arise, arise. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. You can be seated this evening. Brother Ram actually called it a text, actually two thoughts, two subjects from verse 1 to verse 2. And we know that how that when you look at darkness, never has there been a time in the age that we're living in now, even from the beginning, where it's as dark as it is now. And we know that even from the beginning that the darkness had covered the world, and how that God began to create in the middle of this darkness. And God uses creation. God uses his creation to express his attributes. He uses his creation to express his characteristics. He uses his creation, and everything that God creates it by an expression after his own life to a reflection of what he is. Nothing does God create by accident, but everything that God creates, he creates it by design. God creates by purpose. And we know that God, when he creates, is only a further expression of his nature, what he is, and it's expression of his character. And we know that if a person really wants to see God, even if a man didn't possess a Bible, a man would still be able to recognize that there is a God, even if he didn't have the scripture tonight. It's because Brother Ram tells us that God is in nature. And Brother Ram said the first place he saw God was in nature. And Brother Ram tells us that how that God expresses himself within nature, and nature is an expression of God. But yet man doesn't actually worship nature, but we worship the creator of nature. And Brother Ram told us how that nature was there, and God saw the very living God living within his own creation. And it's because God is so great, he can become so small, God has the ability to be able to veil himself within his creation. And that's always been his desire, is to come down within his creation. He desires to live within his creation. And because God is in nature, upon that basis, we realize that God is reflected by it, and how that God loves to reflect himself. And God really, he doesn't want men worshiping nature, men worshiping trees, or men worshiping plant life. But yet, God wants man to recognize there was a creator that made it, but all of our worship goes back to him. And man has to look past the natural within things and see a supernatural hand that lays within it. And how that God is, as the supernatural lays within everything that God creates. And we know that God wants to dwell among us. He wants to dwell among mankind. And we know that even in the beginning, that whenever God began to create, he tells us that, Brother Ram said, that God began to express his word. He begins to express it into creation. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 16 that God made two great lights. One light was made to rule the day, and then another light was made to rule at night. And God is showing us that he is creating light for one purpose, and the creation by purpose is to rule the day and to rule the night. And I want to tell you this evening that darkness was not made to rule over you. Darkness is not made to rule in this age. Darkness is not made to rule over the church. But God placed the word to rule over his children, just as he placed the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule at night. He has placed his light of his word in our hearts tonight. Amen. To rule in his stead. The Bible said he made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Not just be there, but to rule at night. And then he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So when God created the sun and God created the moon, God began to express himself in the way that he desired it to be. And God desired for the moon to rule at night. And he desired the sun to rule in the daytimes. In other words, it's because God wants it to rule, he is putting a purpose within his creation. He put a purpose within His creation. And the purpose of the sun is to rule. And when the sun got in its position, and it got in its place, and it began to rule over the daytime, God looked at the sun and said, "It is good." Lord, why is it good? It's because the creature that has been expressed by the word, the creation, is now doing what God designed for it to do. I said when it come to its place and it come to its position, God looked at it and said, "It's good." It began to express God, what God wants it to express. And when God saw it, God said, "It's good because it's doing what God had intended for it to do." And then God created botany life and plant life and how that it comes down even into animal life. And God just didn't create. But God created by purpose. He's not just creating things to be upon the earth. He's not just trying to populate the earth. But everything that God creates, God created it by purpose. God created it by design. And the purpose of every design that God would put upon the earth, God created it to express His glory. And everything that God creates has a glory. The trees has a glory. Plant life has a glory. Animal life has a glory. And everything God creates, God put a glory within it. Hallelujah. And God intended for that animal life or plant life to express His glory. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, Paul said like this in 1 Corinthians 15, when he's talking about how would the dead be raised up, and he's talking about bodies. And Paul said all flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh, a man, another a beast, another a fish, another a birds. There are also celestial and terrestrial, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. And the glory of the terrestrial is another. And there is one glory of the sun. And then there's another glory of the moon. Another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star. How? In glory. So just as one body is different from another body, just as one tree is different from an animal's life, or an animal's life different from a plant life, so has God made man different. As no tree is made the same, no believer is made the same. But yet within that believer, God wants to express His deity. God wants to express His nature. He wants to express His characteristics. We understand that God is a great expresser. And everything He would create would possess glory. Or we would say, it is possessing attributes. Everything God creates has an attribute to it. The attribute of water is, it's wet. The attribute of fire is, it's hot. The attribute of a flower is its fragrance. And so therefore, the glory of the flower is the attribute, hallelujah, being expressed. You realize it's a very important part of God's program to be able to understand that all of God's attributes has a glory behind it. And Paul said that each one possesses its own glory. Trees has a glory. And trees different one from another. And how that God in His thinking has made the pine tree different from the oak tree. And the oak tree different from other trees. And God took the time to make sure that each tree's leaf would be different. And their bark would be different. But the fact of it is, each one can only produce what God designed it and created it to produce. An oak tree can't be a pine tree. Well, you've got to be created in the image that God wanted you to be in. If God didn't desire you to be Baptist, you can't be Baptist. If God told you you're a son of God, nothing can change the fact of what God wants you to be. God begins to create. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When God put the moon in its place, and God put the sun in its place, God didn't just put the stars up in the heavens just anywhere. But I want to show you that he's not just scattering them across the heavens. He's not just putting them, I'll tell you, he created each star to put in its own place, its own position. I'm talking about somebody tonight. And each star different from another star. And remember, each star is designed. It has a desire. It has an intent of what God wanted it to express while it's there in the heavens. And Barham said that the God's first Bible was the Zodiac. And how that the Zodiac was the Word of God. Expressed and written and hidden within the stars was the very message of redemption laying. I hope you believe that. You realize for the story to be told right, every star has to be put in its right place. Amen. Moses could not take Noah's place. And Noah couldn't take Adam's place. Amen, somebody. But each star had to be put in its specific spot. It had a place that it was intended by God to be, and that's where God set it to be. And the star can't say to another star, I want your place or you want my place. We can only be what God designed us to be. But I'll tell you, they could not express the full glory of God until each star got in its rightful position. In other words, when the stars got put into place, and it was as God had seen it in his mind. Glory. And when they come to that position, and it was a match in the heavens, as it was in his mind, God said it's good. Oh my. Oh, let me tell you, you have got to be in your position. You cannot express the story right tonight. What is the story? But it's the story of redemption. And how that God needs a people that he can use to express his attributes of redeemer through. And that's why you're here in this building this evening. You didn't come to this building haphazardly. You're not in this building just because you decided to believe something. You've been called by God to a position. You've been called by God to be in your place, be in your part, and do what God desired for you to do. Some people think they're here just because their daddy believed this message, or their mama believed this message. I believe my God's bigger than that tonight. I'm here by design, but I couldn't help but believe this message. I can't help but say amen to this message. God knew I was going to believe this message. God knew I'd be preaching tonight. He knew I'd believe this message. He knew you'd be sitting here, and he knew you'd be saying amen to the word. But God doesn't say it's good until each star comes to his position. You've got to come to your place. And we know that everything that God creates by intent, as the sun to rule and the moon to rule. Therefore, whenever the sun in the evening would go behind the earth and it would be on the other side and darkness would creep upon this earth as the shadows would become long, darkness would begin to take over this earth. God knew he couldn't allow the darkness to rule. So he put a moon in its place. Hallelujah. And the moon is an illuminator of the light of that sun. The moon doesn't possess a light of its own. But its outside is designed in such a way. Hallelujah. That it can reflect the very rays of the sun. To be there in the absence of the light of the sun. The moon is there present. It's reflection to rule in the darkness. That's why I tell you, you're here by design. You are not here just to sit on pews. You're not here just to be another worker in this workforce of America. But I tell you, you're here to rule in this dark time.
You're here to rule in this age. You're here as a conqueror. He said, I don't feel like a conqueror, because conquerors are always fighting. They're always battling. But when the sun sets, hallelujah, and the day is over, you come forth as a mighty conqueror. The Son possesses attributes. It possesses a glory that when it's here in the daytime, it has such a power about it that if a seed has a germ of life inside of it and it's planted in the right type of ground, hallelujah, and it receives some water from Pentecost, amen, and it gets the light of the S-O-N. The S-O-N has the ability to bring to life that germ that's inside of that seed. The Son has the ability to quicken it to life. I love when Abraham talks about how that seed sometimes, he said, would be covered up by a concrete pathway, a sidewalk. And Abraham said, you notice when the light begins to shine, somehow, some way, the light penetrates down to that little seed in there. And that seed will begin to grow. If it has to grow through the middle of it or grow to the side of it, that seed will respond to that light. Brother, you can't help but respond to this great message. No matter what's covered you up, you will be quickened to life by the word. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Son has quickened me. And He has put me under this ministry, the Son of Man. And He's put me here to express His attributes. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, God knows you wasn't going to be lost as man calls things lost. But you're only lost till God wants to pick you up. You're not lost out of His mind. You're not lost out of His reach. But there's a certain season. There's a certain day that you have got to be quickened by the S-O-N. And then that light will draw you back from where you come from. Everything that God has possesses a glory. Even when God had come to the height of His creation, which was man. Man was the crowning moment of God's creation. And God wanted something that He could fellowship with. And how that He wanted something that would worship Him by choice. Because God had put all of these attributes within these things. Now God wants something that can turn around and give Him some glory. And we know that Adam was a minor God, under God, made in the likeness of God. And Abraham tells us that Adam was a full expression of God's life. He's a full expression of God's glory. And God gave Adam how that he had been lonely, and He gave Adam a bride. And the bride was a further expression of what Adam was. The moon is a further expression of what the sun is. And Eve was a further expression of what Adam was. But we understand when Adam saw her, he said, she's bone of my bone. She's flesh of my flesh. Or I'll tell you, she's glory of my glory. She's life of my life. She's power of my power. Hallelujah. But when they fell, that real glory left the image that God had placed within the earth. But I want to remind you that when God put them here, God didn't just place them here like He would do the stars and you would think He would just scatter them. Oh no. If God was that concerned about placing stars and the sun and the moon, what about His people, His children? So God tells us from the very beginning, He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Not just here to roam. Not just here to be here. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowls of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And since the fall, I'll tell you, since the fall, that scripture has not been fulfilled. He He made us to dwell and be dominion rulers. He made us to march over the enemy. He made us to rule the night. Man always wanted to be able to get back to that glory. And how did God dwell above his people? But God tells Moses, whenever Moses had been so consecrated to God that he wanted to see a further expression of God. And God commands Moses. And he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God's portraying to us something. He wants to be among his people. And so he tells us he wants a place to dwell at. And God instructs Moses on everything that's to be done. How that he wants the tabernacle built. How many rooms that would be in the tabernacle. Where each piece of furniture would go in the tabernacle. And Moses built the tabernacle after the word that God has spoke to him. You realize after the laver was in its place. And the candlesticks was in their place. And the shewbread was in its place. And the ark was in its place. You realize that's the only time that God can fall upon it. When everything is in its place or position. How many follow me tonight? He cannot say it's good unless the stars are in their place. He can't say it's good unless the sun's in its place. Isn't it amazing? Everything that God created, he said it's good, it's good, it's good. But when it came to man, the Bible said that man dwelt alone. And God said, that ain't good. And the brothers in the church said, it ain't good. Some of you smell your clothes and smell awful bad. Amen. Praise the Lord. But think about it. How that he said it ain't good. So God gave him something to help him. To be a reflection of him. So here comes Moses and he puts everything in his place. And I want you to notice the scripture. Let me read just a few of these. This is Moses putting things where it belongs. And I want you to notice God's response. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set the veil of the covering. And covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he burnt sweet incense thereon as the Lord commanded Moses. When they went to the tent of the congregation, when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared the court around the tabernacle, the altar, and he set the hanging up the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Oh, I just love that. Here is a prophet building a place for God to dwell at, and the scripture said the prophet finished the work. Father, could we not go to Revelation 10:7 in the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be. Amen. Moses finished the work. He finished the work. Then and only then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Had Moses put the outer court where the inner court belongs, the cloud would not have abode upon the tabernacle. Had Moses had left the instruments out of the inner court, God would not have come down upon it. What are you saying? Everything had to be in its place. Everything had to be exactly what God had saw in his mind. And Moses had done it after the vision that God had showed to him on the mount. He had to do it as he was commanded. Amen, somebody. Listen, friends, through your eyes, there's no easy way to come in. Every person's got to come to Christ the same way. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the glory of the Lord. You cannot skip a step. You've got to come God's provided way. That's the same medicine for every person in the building. You must come God's prescription way. Hallelujah. And if you don't, there's no glory. The glory of the Lord can't fall upon a tabernacle. to everything that's in its right position. But when Moses had done exactly according to what God had told him, the glory of the Lord fills it. The light of His glory, it only falls when it matches what God had in His mind. And God was giving us a shadow of what was coming sometime later. Amen. God is opening up a window to allow us to see things has got a place to be in. They got a position. God has a decree. He's got something that has got to be done. How that David so desired to build a place for God. But remember, God tells David, you're not going to build it, but your son Solomon's going to build it. That amazes me for the first child that David had with Bathsheba dies because of this iniquity. But the next one is going to be the one who's going to be the son of David to build a tabernacle that God can dwell in. The 1 Chronicles 28:10 says, take heed now. Notice this. For the Lord God, the Lord had chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. I want you to notice David's terminology to Solomon. He's always encouraging him. Be strong and do it. Don't give up in the middle of this battle. Don't give up in the middle of a trial. Don't quit serving because problems arise and trouble comes. Amen, somebody. Don't give up in the middle of this race. But be strong and do it. Well, I don't know if I can do it, but do it anyway. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Do it anyway. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and the house thereof and the treasuries thereof and the upper chamber thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about and the treasurers of the house of God and the treasures of the dedicated things. And David said to Solomon his son, I love this, be strong and of good courage. David, you have a problem repeating yourself. He's trying to warn him. If you're going to make it to a place that God can dwell in, you're going to face opposition. I said, Happy Valley, you're going to face opposition. Every devil in hell will have his gun aimed at you. When you try to do something from God, you must be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage and do it. And do it. And do it. Fear not. Nor be dismayed. Hallelujah, somebody. Don't give up in the middle of this. You're going to find some obstacles on the road, but don't you give up. Encourage yourself. That tells me when God is trying to erect a tabernacle that He can dwell in, there's going to be some discouraging signs. You're going to wake up discouraged over Him. You're going to wake up and that's going to do things that you don't desire to do. It's going to have a mind of its own, a will of, amen. But you must be strong and very courageous. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God. Oh, I love that. Even my God, He will be with thee. Amen. I feel like I'm reading Joshua 1:1. Do not be dismayed, for as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Even my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Brother, you know what that ought to mean to Solomon? To know that God of David is with him. Knowing the obstacles that stood in David's way, that David overcome giants. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching to you tonight. You're going to have some giants you're going to have to slay. You're going to have some battles you're going to have to win. Listen, friends, you serve God, it's not going to be an easy road. Everything's not going to go as you planned it to be and desired it to be. But listen, it may not go as you wish, but be strong in the middle of this battle tonight. My God will be with thee. The one that slayed the giant Goliath, that same God's going to be with you. Oh, I feel good tonight. That same God that helped me overcome the Amalekites and the Amorites, that same God's going to walk with you. He's going to talk with you. You're going to overcome the way I overcome. Amen. You realize, friend, here he is. This time telling us the same God that was with him is going to be with you. He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. I said, He will not fail thee. In an hour, everything is failing around us. Our bodies are failing. Amen, somebody. Our economic system is failing. Our government is failing. But I want to remind you tonight, our God is not failing. Our God is not coming short. Listen, He doesn't have limited resources. He has unlimited resources. He's got more than you need tonight. He will not fail thee, nor will He forsake thee. You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd just get a hold of that just for a few minutes. He ain't going to fail me. Your body may fail you, but He ain't going to fail you. Your heart may fail you, but He ain't going to fail you. Your blood pressure may fail you, but God said He will not fail you. Nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You see that time of contrast? Don't be dismayed. In other words, there's going to be gloom, but there's also going to be light. There's going to be good days, but there's going to be some bad days. And He says in verse 21, behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. I love this. And the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. You're going to need a fivefold ministry, Solomon. Glory to God. You're going to need some skillful men. You're going to need some men that knows how to hold that word. You're going to need some men that knows how to wield a sword. You're going to need some men that knows how to lay hands on the sick. Amen, church. We're going to need some skillful people who's got faith. Men of faith. Women of faith. People that can believe His word. You know what He's telling him? You're not going to be by yourself. There's going to be an army around you. A host of skillful men shall be with you to help you. If you get down, they'll encourage you. If you go out, they'll pull you back in. For all the men of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. For any manner of service, and also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Notice in the building of this God, He's intertwined the working of men. Do you see it? In order to build this right, God intertwines man into His program. He intertwines man into His will. Don't you see when it comes to New Testament, that's the reason why He sent Ephesians 4 men among us, because they was going to have a work. Skillful men would have a work in this. God spoke His word. He declares what He wants. He lays out the blueprint. David told him what everything needs to look like, how wide the porch needs to be, exactly what the temple needs to look like. It was Solomon's responsibility to make sure that the temple was constructed exactly the way the word says it's supposed to be constructed. And when everything got right, and it came to pass, when the priests were to come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord. Oh, yes, it is. Has filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that He would dwell. Hallelujah. The Lord said He would dwell in this thick darkness. Arise and shine, thy light has come, and gross darkness shall be upon the people. He's letting you know there's going to be darkness, but I'm going to be amongst you. It's going to be a dark time, but I'm going to be there. Listen, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Be encouraged. I will dwell among you. Don't give up in the middle of hard times. I will be there. He would dwell in this thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in. A settled place for thee to abide forever. So God overshadows the tabernacle. He filled it with His glory only after it was completed by design and in everything in its position. God fills the house. I said it took the ark being put in its right place. If the word ain't in its place, the glory's not going to fall. Amen, church. You realize, friends, the reason why we need services is the power God pours out. Why does God come among us? It's when you get the ark in its right place. And you're in your place and I'm in my place. And the children of God is in their rightful place. The glory of the Lord can come among us and do great things. Hallelujah. I remember in the book of Samuel. I can remember whenever the enemy had come in and they had stole the ark and took it out of its position. Remember? And the Philistines come in, they stole the ark away. And during that time was a judge judging Israel about 40 years, was a man by the name of Eli. When Eli had heard that the ark had been stolen by the Philistines, the Bible said that he fell backwards and he died because of this. Just a few days prior, Israel had overcome and the power of God had fell among them. And the Bible said they worshiped and they triumphed because God gave them victory. But now the ark has been robbed out of its position, out of its place. Oh, can I tell you what I see? I said they kicked him out of the church. He's not in his right place. He's not where God ordained him to be at. And they robbed the ark out of its place. Here is Eli's daughter-in-law. When she finds out that her husband had died during this battle and her father-in-law, the judge, had died during this battle, the Bible said that she was in labor. And that she gave birth to a child. And when she was delivering this baby, she died in the middle of it. Anybody remember what they called that baby? Ichabod. Ichabod. And they called it that according to Samuel. And they named the child Ichabod, saying, saying, the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. Think about this. Not that one man had died or a judge had died, but when you take that ark away from God's people, they say the glory of the Lord has departed from all of Israel because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel for the ark of God is taken. Don't you see that's what's happened to the nation that we live in tonight? When you turn down the ark, amen, somebody, and you take the ark out of its position and you put a creed in or a dogma or a man's idea, you are robbing the ark of God of its position. The only thing left for a nation after that is Ichabod over the door. That's what happens when you take the word out of its place. Nothing more beautiful than the scripture. You put everything in its position. You put the showbread in its position, the altar in its position. You make the court right, Solomon, and everything gets right. The glory of the Lord can fill it. But you let the enemy come in and take that ark out of its place. Oh, let me say it better than that. You allow something to come in and take the place of the word. Amen, church. Brother and sister, you let something in this world take the place of that ark. Ichabod comes over the door. For the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. That's the reason we must make sure we've got the word in its right place. You're standing in the right place and nothing can move you out of it. The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. And how that time had went by. A few places within the scripture, we would see how that the glory of the Lord would show himself from time and time again. Even as he would in Ezekiel, whenever Ezekiel saw him after the pattern of the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, saw the middle, the wheel within the wheel. And he saw how it was the glory of the Lord that was seen upon them. Until finally Isaiah begins to prophesy. Hallelujah. And he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Glory. Brother, when he said that, it looked as though that word just was scattered abroad. It looked like it had no place. It looked like it had no position until hundreds of years later, there was a woman, a church, the bride saw the word. And an angel of the Lord visits her and said, Mary, you're highly favored among women. And she, her response was, be it unto me according to thy word. So she give birth. A woman give birth. A woman give birth to the fullness of God's glory. Amen. John said it like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Everybody knows that one, right? And for the longest time, just as a youth, I always thought, well, that's verse 1. But verse 2 was, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Because when Brother Ram quotes the first part, he usually quotes, but actually, that's verse 14. 14 verses later, he tells us that. But in between verse 1 and verse 14, there was a messenger that came. And he said it was John, and John wasn't the light. But he was sent to bear, hallelujah, sent to bear witness of the light. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then he says it like this. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Amen, church. If you wanted to see God, there was no other place to see the fullness of God's glory outside of the man Jesus Christ. John says, hey Moses, we finally seen Him. We seen the one you talked about. You saw Him, but you only saw a glimpse of Him. But God let us in on a little secret, because when Moses asked God, Lord, let me see Your glory, he only saw the back of a man. Hallelujah. What was God showing Moses? I'm giving you a glimpse to let you know I'm going to be a man one day. I'm coming to, hallelujah, I'm going to be a man one day. No wonder John could say, and we beheld His glory. Moses, we saw what you wanted to look at. We seen. How? In Jesus Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror. Come on, church. As in a mirror, a glass, a mirror. The glory of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And we can shout about Jesus. But let me tell you what else Paul said. And you are changed into the same image. How? From glory unto glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. John said the glory of God was Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, as you behold His glory, as you look within the mirror of His Word, the more you look at it, the more you're changed to be like Him. I say the more you come to church, the more you read your Bible, the more tapes you listen to, the more you look into the mirror of the Word, you know how your hair is supposed to be. You know how your clothes are supposed to be. It's because you're looking into the mirror of His Word and you know what you're supposed to look like. Lord, have mercy if you looked over into a Baptist mirror or a Presbyterian or a mosque mirror. Everybody showed up with towels on your head tonight. I'm glad we can look into the mirror of His Word. And they said, when you do, you're changed with the same image from glory into glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you behold Him, you're changed to be like Him. As you look, as you gaze, as you come to an understanding of who He is, you're changed to be more like Him. Why? What's God wanting to do? According to Ephesians chapter 5, that He might present to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's His church. That's His desire. That's His intentions. That's His word, is to have a glorious church. Now the glory of the Lord come present at the birth of Jesus. But it was also present at the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. And the glory of the Lord was present at the birth of the church. When 120 was gathered in an upper room. And they went there as cowards. They went there scared to death for their lives. Amen. But what they was doing was, they ran there according to the promise of the word. Go ye to Jerusalem and dwell there until you're endued from power from on high. It don't matter how you get there as long as you get there. Don't matter if you're scared when you come. Don't matter if you're backwards when you come. Just as long as you get in the right place in the right position at the right time, when the glory of the Lord falls, you'll get what's coming to you. Amen. So it was there at the birth of the church. So if it was there at the birth, it's got to be again in the end time at the resurrection. And we are living in the end time. 6,000 years God has been working on this church. 6,000 years He's been building this church, trying to get her to her place. Paul had to be in his place. Irenaeus had to be in his place. Columba had to be in his place. Wesley had to be in his place. Brother Brown had to be in his place. But you got to get in your place. Don't you understand? That's why Brother Brown says when the bride recognizes who she is. But you can, when you recognize who you are, as you look upon the word, you start being changed from glory unto glory. You get in your place. You get in your position. The rapture can go. Brother tells us that the mighty God unveiled. I'm going to hurry. He said, look at them old badger skins. We find out what's behind it. Inside the word. Inside of there was a word. There was also the showbread. The ark was sprinkled. And what was it? The Shekinah glory was in there. The word is the seed and it cannot bring forth until the sun strikes it. And the sun has got to be upon the seed to make it bear, to make it come forth. And that's the only way. You take the word seed, take the word of God in your heart, walk into the Shekinah glory. And when you do, it'll bring shewbread manna. That's only give for a separated people. You got to be as God called us to be. And He called us to be a peculiar, separated people. The only thing that can eat that's permitted to eat it, just as the people who are permitted knows it. Paul said here, watch this quote. Paul said here, we're changing from glory unto glory. You see, finally it comes till it's back to its original. That's why Paul said, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, remember Christ the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or I'll say the hope of a body change. The hope of a glorified body rests within every believer who gets this hope of Christ within him. Or I'm going to say, it's just like a seed in the morning glory. The seed of fire falls to the ground. The seed of corn falls to the ground. What's the first thing? It comes up. It's a little sprout. Then it goes to a tassel. And from a tassel, back to its original grain. That's exactly what the church has done. We went from one glory to another. From Luther to Wesley. Now back to the original grain. Back to the original glory. Back to the glory it was in Paul's day. At the beginning. The sun that rose in the east is the same sun that's manifesting the same thing in the west. Changing from glory to glory. It changed from pagan down to Luther, Luther down to Wesley, Wesley in the Pentecost. On and on. It's changing from glory to glory. Producing the hidden manna. The more you eat, the more you change. The more you take in, the more you change. And now it's ripe. To bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. What was man in the beginning? He was made to rule and have dominion over the earth. As the sun would rule the day and the moon would rule the night, you was made to rule and reign on earth. Brother Bram says it's the same thing. It's right to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus. I love that. Same Jesus. The same power. Same Holy Ghost. Brother, you ain't changing this Holy Ghost. This ain't your mama's Holy Ghost or your daddy's Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost of the original. God ain't got no grandchildren tonight. You can't go in on a message coattail. You must be born exactly the way Pentecost was. I feel like singing that song. It ain't form, it ain't fashion. Amen. This Holy Ghost I got, it's genuine. It's old, but it's new. It's powerful, yet it's true. I'm so glad this Holy Ghost is genuine. Amen. Brother Abraham said it come on the Pentecost, the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today. from glory unto glory to glory. It's back. Glory. I said it's back. It's back. It's back with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How, Brother Branham? With the same exact signs and wonders. Same baptism. Same kind of people. Acting the same way. Same kind of people. Not person, Brother Branham. Same kind of people. And the church said.
Amen.
Acting the same way. Same power. Same sensation. Brother David, I don't like the sensation. Can't help it. It's just what comes with it. There's always a little stimulation. It comes with revelation. He said it's from glory into glory, and the next will be changed. Hallelujah. From glory into a body, into a body, into a body, like His own glorious body, where we shall see Him. And once God gets us in our position, into our place, as He intended for us to be in His mind, Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise. It's a command. Arise. He's telling you to. This ain't saying, well, I don't know if I want to or whether or not. He's telling you, arise. What else you want me to do, Lord? Shine. How can I shine? Because I'm going to give you something to shine with. Arise and shine, for thy light, thy light, thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord, just like it was in Moses' temple. Just like it was in Solomon's temple. Just like Ezekiel had sought. Just like it was at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like it was at the birth of the church. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Don't you hear David telling Solomon, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged. God's going to be with you. My Lord, my God will not fail thee. And Isaiah said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. And guess what? His glory shall be seen upon you. The same seed that went into the ground has come back again. What's God doing? Reflecting His glory. Arise and shine. Remember, this is the hour that the bride comes to her place. She comes to her position. And He tells her, your light is here. It's time. Well, I've been waiting for 6,000 years, but it's time now. Church, we're not sitting on our hands tonight. We're not sitting here waiting on something. Arise and shine. Your light's come. There's no need to wait. There's no need to be discouraged. Your light is here tonight. Why? It's the hour of the revealing. It's the hour of manifestation. It's the hour of the sons of God coming to adoption. It's the hour when the Word has been revealed. The cover's been taken off of it. And God is showing us and unveiling to us what He had in the back parts of His mind before the foundation of the world. He's revealing it to us. And He tells us it's here. 1964, He waits all the way to the end of the ministry. He says, it's here. It's here. Horizon shine, thy light has come. Think about it. Your light has come. It's here. Or in other words, there's no need to sit in the darkness. There's no need to fellowship amongst the darkness. I have sent you your light. The one you're elected to have, your light. The one you're predestinated to bring forth. A manifestation of this word. Your light is here. Luther had his light. Amen. Wesley had his light. Brother Brown had his light. But he says, you've got a light. What is the light? It's the manifestation of the hour. It's the revelation of this day. Brother Brown was here, all we'd be doing is looking at Brother Branham's light. Amen. But when he increased, amen, somebody. Brother Branham had to decrease so you can get your eyes upon the revealed word. So you can come to your position and come to your place to know, arise and shine, your light's come. He's letting you know this ain't the same day as it was in Pentecost. This is a new time. This is a new day. I said this is a new era. It's a new manifestation. It's a new hour. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why when Brother Ram comes to me in the message, he said, you're not a Pentecost anymore. We're going to call this age a bright age. What is a bright age? Arise and shine your lights here. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. You realize the glory of the Lord was always that pillar of fire. It's always Him. It's always Him. No matter how He hides Himself, whether it's in a bush, whether it's in a cloud, whether it's in, wherever it is, it's always Him. He come upon the tabernacle of the congregation in the form of a cloud, and the Bible said He dwelt upon it. Oh, can't you see? He's here in the presence of His Word. The fullness of what He is, the fullness of His kabod is here. His presence is here. What's it doing? Changing you. From glory unto glory. It's changing you. A pillar of fire is here to do something for you. What do I got to do? Get in your place. Get in your position. Don't try to jump in somebody else's. Get in the place that God wants you to be at. Amen. If you're not in the right place, get in the right place. No matter where you're at tonight, get in your position. Get in your place. And when you recognize your light has come, you see who you are. And when you see yourself in the image of that Word, you recognize, I appreciate Brother David's got it. I appreciate Brother Terry's got it. And all these other men's got it. But I got something too. I got something too. I can see a reflection. I'm like a little boy. When he looked in the mirror, he said, Mama, that's me. Brother, I'm looking in the mirror of this Word. And I'm going to tell you, I see me in this Word. I hope that you see yourself. I hope you do. And I'm not trying to discourage nobody. But brother, when I look into it, I see a new body waiting on me. Darkness is going to be upon the world, and gross darkness is going to be upon the people. You're going to have to fight through this thing. It's going to be some gloomy days you're going to have to fight through. There's going to be some obstacles thrown in your way that you're going to have to overcome. But don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you. You got something to fight with. How are we going to fight? Bullets? Machine guns? Missiles? Oh no, light. Light. And as the sun shines upon you and the light begins to illuminate within you. Think about it. The more it illuminates within you, it drives the darkness away. Just as it did when God put the sun upon the in the world, the Bible said it began to drive the darkness back. That's what the light in your heart did. It drove it back. Remember Brother Brown preaching St. John chapter 4, that little woman at the well? And Brother Brown said she come down to that little well needing some water. And Jesus said, I have need to go buy some hernia. You know what God was doing? He was bringing the sun by a little predestinated elected seed. She had darkness and gross darkness upon her. She had five husbands. The one she was living in wasn't even her own. And she went there. Her mind was on natural things. Her mind was on a natural world. But I'll tell you, there was a supernatural God with her light standing there, shining, illuminating out of that well. And that seed coming to the presence of thy light. Glory. I said a predestinated seed coming to the presence of a great light. Hallelujah. And her light began to speak to her. What's it doing? Driving back little pieces of darkness here. Pieces of darkness there. Begins to penetrate to something deep down inside of her. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden she recognizes, hey, this is a man of God. About that time she puts her spiritual mask on. I perceive. We've studied about these things in Sunday school. We've got creeds and dogmas that tells all about this. But I perceive you're a prophet. That little predestinated seed inside of her heart begins to quiver into that light. Glory to God. It begins to quiver, and the more He talks to her, something down and deep inside the DNA of that little elected seed begins to spring to life, one atom after another. Brother, that's the way you come to this message is, it's the Son of the Light and the Son of Man shine upon your heart, and it spread that elected seed to life. I'll take some water. The well's deep. You ain't even got nothing to draw with. I ain't coming to get this water. I'm coming to give some water. He was there for one purpose. That's her. He was her light. There was no other light she needed but Him. I'm telling you, you don't need any other light but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the only light you need tonight. I can see her. As finally, He begins to discern her heart. First pull. Second pull. Third pull. The light come on. The man was present. So the light come on. Everything changes then. When the light comes on, she can't look at Jesus the same as she did before. Lord, I'm going to say it again. You can't look at the Word the same way you looked before when the light comes on. So she went back to her house, sat on her hands, and thought, that's just pretty good. I mean, we had good service last week. I mean, you know, Sunday was a good service. That was all right. Brother, when that elected seed come to life, there was some stimulation with her revelation. I know people don't like it and they're scared to death of it, but brother, there's some stimulation to go with it. The Bible didn't say she crawled. The Bible didn't say she walked. The Bible said she ran. She ran and said, come see a man. Come see a man. Arise and shine. Come see a man. The revealed word. Why? Arise. Arise. Don't sit in Laodicea. Don't sit in darkness. You don't have to. I shall give thee light. What's going on, Brother David? He's just making me make sure I'm in my place. I'm in my place. I'm going to help somebody else get in their place. They're going to help somebody else get in their place. And then one morning, the sweep's going to come over us. And the message, shalom, I'm quitting. Let our musicians come. Brother M says, good morning. Good morning. Not good night. Good morning. Which means shalom, which means, oh, I love that word. Peace. Darkness is gathering. What's it gathering for? Just to show the light. God help us to look at this world like this. Why is there darkness around me? To show you got light. Isaiah 61, rise and shine, for thy light has come to you. That's the reason I can say shalom. Is this man insane? Does he know something that we don't know? Oh yeah, he does. He knows who's present. I can say shalom, the light has come to you. God's peace to the elected woman, to the elected lady, those who God before the foundation of the world called out and ordained to that. The stars was ordained to their place. The sun was ordained to its place. Moses was ordained to his place. Amen, church. And you're ordained to your place. You can't help from being what you are. Expressions of His glory. Expressions of His life. Manifestations of His word. But you realize God don't want you caged up and locked up. I was up in Ohio just the other day. I went through Cincinnati. I got stuck in a traffic jam there. As I come underneath that big bridge they have there, I seen a sign that said Cincinnati Zoo. My mind went back to a story Brother Brown told about Cincinnati Zoo. He said when he was taking his children there, he said he went by the bird cages and there was a great majestic eagle locked up in that cage. And Brother Brown said he'd ran and he'd try to run and jump and he'd beat the feathers out of him. He's bleeding all over. I love it because Brother Brown said that little eagle, he said he would look up into the sky that he was made for. And he'd see what he's ordained to live in. But he'd been caged up by man. And he said he would take off running back against his cage and run, flop his wings as hard as he can, and hit those bars and fall right down. He'd jump up and run back again, take off running, flop his wings as hard as he can, fall back down. And I love what Brother Ram says. I just can't help but think something about this. Brother Ram said, if I could just buy him, I'd take the key down to that cage and I'd unlock that door and I'd let him free. I can't hardly think, friends. Where would he get a desire like that at? Where would he get a desire like that at? Week in and week out, he would see God's children locked up and caged up by all kinds of things of darkness and Laodicea. Arise and shine. What is that? That's the key that unlocks your cell. That's the key that unlocks your door. You don't have to be bound up. You don't have to be caged up or locked up. Arise and shine! Your light is coming. Oh my, let's stand on our feet and bow our hearts if you would. Arise and shine. Thy light has come. My mind goes back to when Brother Bram had the dream. Remember when he saw the big house of hell? People all caged up and locked up and bound up. Said those great big iron bars about 8 or 10 inches thick. And Brother Bram said, I remember as I stood back and I said, house of hell, give way. And Brother Ram said, there's a shaking. A stirring began to take place. And the rocks begin to fall and the bars begin to bend. Don't you understand who's here? Don't you understand what he's done for us? House of hell, give way tonight. Give way. Let God's children be set free. To do what, Brother David? Express his glory. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. I trust the Lord that this would find resting place within our hearts. Lord, that little church, people got themselves in trouble. All caged up and locked up. That's never your desire, Lord, for your children to be locked up. I pray tonight, Lord, that our spiritual ears would be able to hear that your desire is for us to be able to express you. A place to dwell, a place to live, a place to work through. To do what? To prove to this dark age there's still somebody standing to believe in the Word of God. I trust, Lord, that this church, may me and all the rest of these people, may we be able to stand in this hour. Help us to give voice to the vision tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to give voice to the Word. May we begin to echo the words of God for this day. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. Lord, you hadn't designed us to live in darkness. You've made us conquerors. You've made us overcomers. Help us, I pray tonight, each one that has come. May we leave this building. Lord, if we've been discouraged, may we take David's advice. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Fear not, for my God is with thee. Lord, we believe it tonight. We believe you're present even in this building. Time has went by, but you ain't forgot about your children. On these mornings, hallelujah. Lord, every scriptural promise has come. We're only longing, Lord. We're only longing for that morning when we leave here. But we know, Lord, we'll never be able to go until we're in our rightful position. Help us each one to find their place. If we're not in our place, help us to get into it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You appreciate the word of God. Amen. Any good? Let's sing, God. I believe he's coming back like you said. Help me sing that. How many believe he's coming back for you? Amen. Brother, he ain't forgot about us. You're the apple of his eye tonight. You're on his mind every moment of every day, as we would say. Amen. And I believe he's coming back like he said.
sky and I believe he's coming back like he said. Oh, and I believe the time is nearing that we'll soon see his appearing. Oh, this could be in the middle of the air, be caught away. I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe a trumpet's gonna sound so loud, he'll resurrect the dead. Split the eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Oh, I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect the day. Sounds so loud, he'll resurrect the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split the eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
Honestly, he's come to be baptized tonight. He was telling me a little before service how he'd come to be here. Said he was headed to another church just up behind us, and the Lord made him turn in. So, like Brother Dave said tonight, God don't make mistakes. He's not here by accident. And he told me, he said, I'm not a very smart man. I just follow his leading. And you know, that's smart Einstein didn't have. So that's a real smart man. So Brother Woods, we're gonna pray for you now and baptize you in the name of the Lord. Turn from this way. Heavenly Father, Lord, our brother was speaking tonight, Lord. You've ordained a spot for everything and everyone, Lord. Lord, I believe that sun, Lord, the S-O-N that shined on that seed, Lord, that was placed before the foundation of the world in my brother's soul, Lord. And that sprout, Lord, is starting to come forth, Father. Lord, it's coming forth in an age, Lord, when he's recognizing who he is, Lord. Lord, tonight I believe all of heaven's rejoicing, Lord. Lord, not just for the fact that another son has come home, Lord, but I believe that heavens are ringing, Lord, because their father is happy tonight. Their father is proud. Lord, we baptize our brother, Lord. We know this water, Lord, will not wash the sins away physically, Lord. But we know, Lord, it's an act, Lord, of the old man going down, Lord, a new man coming up, Father. Lord, help it, brother, Lord Jesus, as he comes forth out of this water, Lord. Lord, to seek that Holy Ghost, Lord. You're right. Tonight, where your prophet said, Lord, God said, when you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you the Holy Ghost. Lord, we believe that for our brother, Lord. Lord, may he live a life, Lord, that's a true example of your word, Father. Bless him now. Brother Lee, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The light is here, arise and shine. Thy light has come. Will this little light of mine, yes, I'm gonna let it shine. I said this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, this little light of give it to you. I said.